Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. My name's Blue. Alongside of me is Mr. Joe Grande, Mark Wasserman, and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. And now it's time to go and talk about cannabis news with Craig Wasserman.
What's in the news, Craig?
Joe, you might know about this company, Nerds.
They make candy. The chewy Nerds.
This actually happened a few years ago before the regulated market came about, with companies suing over trademark violations of certain names.
Sure.
So Nerds Company, which is owned by this company called Ferrara, is suing several distributors who are selling knockoff THC Nerd ropes. I guess it's candy that's Nerds on it. It's like a rope, I guess. I haven't bought it. But the company alleges that children have been sickened by ingesting the THC-infused Nerds that they thought were legitimate candy. I'm going to stop right there.
Right?
That has got to be the motherfucking parents' fault. No, bullshit. It's very possible that could have happened. And it's not going to feel good for a kid if you have too much, especially in an edible. We know how I got with too much THC.
Especially a kid with that.
It's not going to kill him. It's not going to kill him, thank God, like other drugs parents leave around that could actually kill a kid.
Right.
I don't think this would kill them, but they were briefly hospitalized. This was in Utah.
I mean, accidents happen though, Craig. And when people see those, like I've seen them a lot in smoke shops.
That's irresponsibility. That could be
endangerment charges. Leaving your opiates in a place where a kid can get them.
That's against the law. If you kill your kid on accident, or he even takes a drug on accident and you leave it on the counter, negligence. You're taking your kid.
Also, not only that two other kids in Utah were briefly hospitalized after eating THC infused Nerds that someone donated to a local food bank. So someone donated these fucking things to a food bank and the food bank didn't know the difference. This is also happening in Massachusetts, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Ferrara, though, is one of the only companies that has sued a weed business for trademark infringement. Previously, in 2014, Hershey sued a Washington dispensary for selling a product named Reefer's Peanut Butter Cups and Mr. Dank Bar.
I get that. Reefer's and Dank Bar?
Jolly Ranchers also sued another company that was naming things Jolly Rancher. We had this happen before, which I thought was kind of silly. Gorilla Glue. Because you're going to walk into a dispensary and go, Gorilla Glue. Wow. Is that the glue that I buy at Home Depot?
No.
I'm confused. No. And that was their big thing about, confusing the name with the product. And I think Gorilla Glue changed it to
GDP
something, or they changed it back then, but now it's even getting more serious with the a lot of these counterfeits and
G13.
Yeah, most likely these brands aren't even legit anyways.
I'm not a fan of the whole Cocoa Puffs and using these brand names that look just like Fruity Pebbles, your Skittles, your M&Ms. I feel like it's like the old school way of cigarettes.
Joe, hold on. It's against the regulations here in California to have packaging like that. So almost any packaging you see like that, ripping off a brand name or a twist on a brand name, it's going to be the illicit market weed.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed.
My point is I don't like it either way. I just think it's
irresponsible.
Yeah. I think it's stupid. And but just me personally, I mean, I get it. Some people love it. And sometimes I look at it.
But the fact is, whoever donated that was a moron, and the kids who got their hands on it with their parents were morons for letting them have it.
No, I'll tell you what though, guys. If you think of it like this, there is so many people out there right now that are knocking off these companies. Generally, like you said, Craig, I do believe most of them are underground companies. Even the one that I think Nerds is suing right now, they're not legal. You don't see those in stores. They don't got those ropes in the stores.
They don't,
because it's against the regulations here in California to have that kind of packaging.
Right. So they're going after a ghost. You know what I mean? So really, it's just
interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It's funny that they even bring that up.
Actually, they're suing.
Yeah, they've seen the name out there. someone probably said there's probably a real company that's out there that they're producing something very similar. Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of merchandise.
Website. Right. Yeah. And then, and then what happens is it's really illegal, quote, quote. And then, you know, and so they don't even know who they're really going after. Again, they're probably suing the wrong guys, and it's just a spend money situation, in my opinion. And that's your Cannabis Talk news.
Oh, thank you for taking me out, Blue. That's
it. I was going to say, take him out with the bong toke, Craig.
And when we come back, we little brother. Will hear stories of when, or maybe I'll just tell more news. Stay tuned.
No. We're going to go to when cannabis goes bad. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. And we want to give a very special thanks to Pit, Peanut, Jen, Elvis. Anthony really helps us out filming. Jen gets all of our social media up there. Pit, Peanut, you're doing it behind the board and making things happen with guests. Elvis, just out there everywhere, doing it from wherever he can. We love you, Elvis. And now I have another great story.
I can't wait. People are such, I mean, the things that go on out there, it just never seems to amaze me.
Well, and what's great when I prepare these things, you know, I get a fair amount of stories that Elvis sends my way, and I do my own research, and it's just amazing.
Or you just pick up the phone at work and go, oh my God, are you serious?
That's it. That's
I mean, if you just sat back and went, let me write this down so I can articulate this in a great story, or let me just remember it in a way of, oh my goodness, there's enough that you get calling the office between you and your brother and your niece picking up that damn phone.
Every day. I've come running into the show going, hey, I just talked to somebody. And so here we go. Out of Omaha, the headline reads, man suspected of placing a fake bomb had 232 pounds of drugs in his car. Now, that's the headline. The headlines always say drugs, but we know that it's going to be cannabis.
And so, this is Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, Omaha, Nebraska. A judge has set a bond at $2 million for a man accused of planting a fake bomb in downtown Omaha.
And we know, you guys, Nebraska is not green friendly. So that's one of the three states that's not even green friendly whatsoever.
The Douglas County Sheriff arrested 25-year-old Thomas Truba in connection with the suspicious package left and found near the Douglas County Courthouse Friday afternoon. Authorities said a surveillance camera video showed Truba that he took two boxes from his backseat of his car, set them on the sidewalk near the courthouse, and drove off. Evacuations happened. The Omaha Police Department's bomb squad arrives. They use an explosive charge to render the package safe. And then they learned that the package contained absolutely no explosive devices. Investigators discovered multiple illegal substances in Truba's car after they detained him, including, you ready for the list? Of the drugs, MDMA, codeine, drug paraphernalia, and the 232 pounds of the motherlode cannabis. They also found
232 pounds isn't a light shipment by no means, though.
That's some boxes
right there, folks.
Which makes sense as to why he had $400,000 in cash that they took as well. And we go back to that headline. They talked about MDA and codeine and drugs, cannabis. Cannabis.
How about this, though, Mark? Let's screw the headline and say you have over $400,000 in cash on you, over 200 pounds of weed in a state that your governor's an idiot, and you have the nerve to be pissed off at the court for whatever they did. And you know what? They probably did something that's worthy of you being pissed off to, you know, do a fake bomb. I don't know. And I'm sure you probably can't even get into the details and find what the problem was, why he did that. But you got to just imagine, right? Like maybe took his kids, maybe did something to a mom. Who knows? Didn't give the money. There's a lot of reasons that I can think of off the top of my head that goes, how stupid would I be to put a fake bomb on the, you know, the steps of a courthouse? Well, sometimes I can go stupid, but how stupid am I to have that much cash on me that I can potentially lose with that much weed.
Wait, that's what they found in his car. Then, of course, they went to his house.
No, the story continues.
They get a search warrant for his residence.
Oh, no.
And they find 2,000 grams of THC wax.
Wow.
Approximately 227 grams of MDMA. And approximately 181 grams of cannabis flower. Scales weighing narcotics were also found in the house. None of the packages of narcotics found in the home contained an affixed stamp. U.S. currency was also found in the totaling $16,850. This guy is facing felony charges for threatening explosive use, placing a false bomb, possession of a controlled substance, and a misdemeanor count of obstructing government operations. What's interesting to me, as you were pointing out, you know, we're stupid. We do stupid things, right? And this guy, whatever, the whole reason he's busted for all these drugs and everything else is because he left this fake bomb and they had to track him down and find him.
Hey, everybody, guess what I do? I sell dope. You want to come to my house and find it? Like, here, dude.
I'm going to give you, the cops, all the evidence you need for the probable cause you need.
There you go. I'm going to give you every probable cause you can imagine.
I mean,
I usually look at the cops who do something stupid and like, oh, okay, that was wrong. That sucks for that person. That, you know, I think of the lady that you were helping to defend who, you know,
right,
somebody left a roach in the back. There's a lot of when cannabis goes bad that is just like, oh, that just sucks. Oh, that's pretty dumb. That's pretty dumb. This may be one of the dumbest guys out there, period. Not only is he, was he, who knows? Well, obviously, had put $400,000 in cash. He was doing well. He was pushing some weight. You know what I'm saying? You don't have $400,000 in cash, let alone a couple of 200 plus pounds of weed and that much wax. That wax is worth a lot of money there, too. He had what, over 200 grams of wax?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, and what makes this a cannabis goes bad for me? Is this type of stuff that he's doing, MDMA and all of the other stuff, and then you throw the cannabis in there, it gets the bad rap. It further gives cannabis a bad name.
But you know what, though, Mark? This is when we go back to saying some people out there give it the bad name. This guy didn't do like something where, oh, shucks, you got popped. No, you were so stupid. You are so dumb. You are completely out of line. You're so wrong in your behavior that you make people who do cannabis look so bad because you're a moron.
What's the point of planting a fake bomb just to get yourself in trouble and scare people?
Well, that's what leads me to ask you. Have you ever done anything? Like, it makes me think of the old, not the old, it's now the new terrorist threats. Like, shut up, motherfucker. I'll kill you. You know, like, you can't even say that. I'll blow you. I'll go to your house. Remember? And I know you, Mr. Anger Management, have gotten so mad at somebody. You might have said it to your own wife. I will blow this house up.
I'm going to, you know what? I have an example of something I said to a woman who hurt me real bad years and years ago, which after I said this, 2 days later, two guys showed up at my house with
cops?
Her. No, not cops. Just two guys. Like,
hey, dude, you threatened her bad.
Yeah. It wasn't a threat. It was not a threat. It was a statement. And here's the statement. You deserve to have a knife shoved in your neck.
Why would you say that to someone? I know why, because she hurt you.
Well, I'll tell you. You're a big old baby. Hey, I was in love. I got used.
Yeah, you know what? When people say that, I go like this. Yeah, that sounds like love.
I got trampled. Yeah,
I was so in love that I threatened to put a knife in your neck. That's not love. That's stupidity.
That's love turning to hate after being stabbed in the back.
No, that's what I call ignorance at its finest.
When you're, how old was I? I think I was
35.
No, I think I was 20. No, you know when it was? It was It was the fucking riots. It was when the riot in 1992.
Rodney King?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it was, so you're it just was, a mess it emotionally. Was, blame it on the riots, right? The riots had me all twisted. It was 92. I couldn't even think straight. Like I was just a mess. Like, you know what's funny is like I look back and especially like when I was a bouncer and you know, but my point is I never liked to say what I was gonna do to you. I'll never, you know what I mean? Like, man, I will,
did it.
I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm just gonna do it. You know what right. I'm saying? I'm not gonna sit here and tell you what I'm gonna do to you. I'm not gonna right. sit here and I remember early on. One of my cop buddies, when I was bouncing, like, dude, don't ever tell somebody what you're going to do. Just do it. And I'm like, So and then, thank God I never reacted that way to women where, you know, you deserve. And you and I were so much alike as we've had so many discussions. We're such an emotional mess, psychotic weirdos that that's why Mark and I off the show can just relate so much.
Right.
The sickness of our behavior in our earlier life. But with
but it was all well intentioned.
With a lot of therapy and not drinking, we've changed our ways. But the point is doing something stupid to bring probable cause to you or to bring awareness to you that's unwarranted.
To the if crimes you that don't you do are it. Committing.
Yeah. And, it, you know, and this is the story out of Oklahoma that just, or not Oklahoma, excuse me, Omaha. That makes me just go, God, I'm so happy that I never got myself in those troubles because Lord knows I think them. I just don't speak them.
Man, we like we talked about earlier before, we see it every day. We get the calls every day from people who do things that are like, they're carrying around 25 pounds in the trunk. And then they tell the cop, I just have a little right here. You know, and then the cop gets searched. And it's just like these people who call and they're, it's like, you're doing this, you know you have it. What the fuck are you saying? Even to the point where, yes, you can search. Even we have those cases where it's just straight up consent and they know what's in the fucking trunk.
Like,
it's going to magically disappear when they open it.
Nothing crazy. Worse than being a big old dummy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm Mark Wasserman, and that's when cannabis goes bad.
Here's a story of a man named Craig. Who had a brother that did it just to say?
I already wrote that.
You really did write a theme song. Whatever happened to that?
I have it.
We need to do it.
I recorded it.
Let's do it right now.
Let's, you know, can you reread it to us right now? As we're back on the show, we're back. Because that was a great bring us back.
What'd you say, Chris? The show.
No, the show's going. Go ahead.
Oh, we're actually on the show, Craig. Welcome back.
That was good. I liked what Blue just
said. Yeah.
I was into
and,
that.
And now it's time when cannabis goes bad with bad. Mark Wasserman.
All right. Out of Australia.
Australia.
You know, we're worldwide, you know, 95 countries. So we got to cover.
We have a lot of listeners in Australia.
All the news headlines.
Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
All the Aussies. And matter of fact, there's a lot of them that really like my friend's biker club. So there's a lot of in Australia.
Well, there we go. Out of Australia.
We have some good guys down there in an MC.
Right? Isn't your bike club big in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Continue, Mark.
You guys don't use seats, just poles.
Mark, it's so hard to work from home, guys. If you're listening to the car going, what happened on these last two shows? We're at home. We're you know, I'm at the office.
Don't give away the magic.
getting cabin fever. Hunkering
out
down
of Australia. The headline reads: massive cannabis bust on Australian North Coast. A criminal syndicate producing an industrial scale $40 million cannabis crop in northern NSW. Joe, that means New South Wales government.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
Of like, who did know that, first off?
One
of the largest seizures ever in Australia. 14 men have been charged after raids last week on the mid-north coast netted 13,353 cannabis plants at rural properties in Mimumba, Malinga, and Moonwood. All three locations had massive grows. Drugs and firearms squad commander detective John Watson said the seizure was one of the most significant in Australian history. As far as cannabis seizures go, he said, we have not seen one of this size since the 1970s. Biggest wow. difference back then in 1975, and Blue, you may know something about this, outdoor crops were strictly seasonal. So criminal groups were restricted to one crop a year. Whereas these grow houses these days, weather controlled, enabling harvest and plant every 12 weeks or so, you can get up and running. So the raids were conducted under Strike Force Harthouse, formed last November to investigate the cultivation and supply of cannabis, which has so far led to 33 arrests. And I hate reading this part always, the destruction of cannabis worth more than $100 million. Mm. Destroyed. The strike force has now dismantled six rural properties being used for cannabis cultivation, charged another 19 people, and seized cannabis worth more than $60 million. So between the cannabis, extra cannabis they seized, what they destroyed, $160 million worth. Last Thursday, detectives began 2 days of raids at three properties. So they raided different properties over 2 days.
That's a lot of raids.
Why can't we use that? Oh, why can't we use all that extra cannabis and mulch it into soil?
Give it to cancer patients. And if it tests clean, then it should not be destroyed.
What do you mean clean though? I mean, if it goes into soil that they're putting the same. Hold on, Craig. Let me finish.
You what if just there's talk there?
Too much.
You what talk if there's too... pesticides?
But there's
hey, let me, hey guys, because guys, in the
soil,
guys,
there's
guys,
a lot of soil guys, that does need guys, pesticides. Hello. Silly.
Let me tell you how this turned out. See, police arrested six Vietnamese men, including a 31-year-old permanent resident, a 41-year-old who is unlawfully in Australia, a 23-year-old and a 27-year-old who are both on student visas, and a 38-year-old and a 48-year-old both on bridging visas. They were all charged with cultivating a commercial quantity of prohibited plants and supplying prohibited drugs and participating in a criminal group. Moral of the story, guys, don't cultivate in Australia, huh?
Yeah, but listen, again, let me ask this question, and let me try and get the question out, Craig. You know, Mark, do you believe that they can take that and turn it into a soil or turn it – and again, you know, Craig says there's pesticides. There's a lot of soil that needs pesticides to keep out all good the point. Different pests that are out there. That's why they created pesticides, you know. And so there's a – definite soil option there. It can be used as a medium to fluffing up the soil, to grind it into, you know, mulch, to feed fish with, who knows, create, you know, fish food and get them all stoned, who knows. But Craig,
and maybe Craig could put it on his hair.
Give it to vets. All I said was,
I'm not a soil expert, but whatever bad chemicals some of these people use to grow illegal weed, if it's bad, then maybe it shouldn't be used to, you know, maybe it should be destroyed if it's that bad.
But I mean, you've been smoking illegal weed your whole life,
big guy.
Yeah, but I think the use of the bad pesticides has gotten worse.
Made him go bald.
All right. Well, we have another story out of Seattle, Washington. Headline reads.
Blue, wait. I disagree. I disagree. Blue, I don't think those pesticides can turn you into fucking soil like that. Can you really do that? Turn it into mulch?
I just love, I don't know, but I'm sure.
A hair gel, maybe a hair gel, some hair gel.
It could be a hair gel.
And that's when cannabis goes bad.
Start your next one, Mark, because no, these two idiots.
I'm done.
No, you got one more, don't you?
I'm waiting for their segment, so we'll
see what happens. At least they're talking about something. Mark, I know you have a little bit more. We need to stretch it a little longer. Give us another one.
All right. My phone fell. Out of Seattle, Washington, the headline reads, mailed nationwide from Seattle area leads to takedown of major illegal cannabis ring. We talk about this all the time. People talking about shipping cannabis through the mail. The United States Postal Inspection Service, along with other federal agents at the King County Sheriff's Office, busted a major illegal cannabis operation that spans coast to coast. Hundreds of agents served 27 search warrants simultaneously on the Puget Sound on Wednesday, October 21st. Cameras were there as agents seized evidence from homes in Skyway. Warrants were also served in Renton, Kent, Lake Taps, Maple Valley, Federal Way, Covington, SeaTac, and Sonomish, all at the same time. This is what a very coordinated bust looks like. Investigators say the evidence includes processed cannabis, thousands of cannabis plants, and related documents. This is a particularly egregious ring, law enforcement said. You're talking about over the course of this investigation, there are probably tens of millions of dollars of product that have been shipped to multiple states nationally. Court documents indicate the pot was grown inside homes, mostly in Kings County, then processed and mailed through United States Postal Services in 9 states. Guys, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Georgia, and Missouri.
Wow.
Adult use cannabis still illegal, except in Massachusetts and Illinois. They can sell product for $1,000 a pound, but $3,000 a pound on the East Coast. On the West Coast, $1,000 a pound. East Coast, $3,000 a pound. And some of these sites, there's no one living there, just houses that have grows in literally every room, upstairs, downstairs.
That's the old school. That's the old school OG.
Oh, geez.
Gangster growers, man.
Rent a house and spread it out.
Yeah, man.
That's easy. Moral of that story, and we say it all the time. Don't ship cannabis. And I'll tell you, if you're shipping cannabis,
don't be a criminal.
They are watching post office. They are watching. There are certain post offices in every city where it's rampant, where people package their stuff up, and they have cops watching and surveilling those post offices and waiting for you to leave, waiting for you to run a red light, or they'll make up some type of traffic stop bullshit and pull you over. Happened to a client of ours who actually got pulled over for rolling a stop sign, which he didn't, and then it stunk. They searched his vehicle. Now, actually, this was about 4 or 5 years ago. They searched his vehicle. Smell was still probable cause, but he kept his mouth shut. And when they searched his vehicle illegally, they found FedEx or USPS post tracking. And the boxes tracked to packages to Texas that had cannabis in it. But because they did an illegal search, we got 3 felonies wiped out.
Wow.
How great is that? That's a come
up. It's great. Keep your mouth shut. And remember,
if no one else loves you, we do.
Peace.